Morning, Ms. Pass, Mr. Katz.
Morning.
Morning. You have 15 minutes. Do you want to reserve any rebuttal?
Please, Rob.
Sorry?
Please.
How much?
5 minutes.
You may proceed.
Thank you. I'm Stephanie Pass here on behalf of Jacoby Frazier, the appellant. This matter comes out of the Circuit Court for the City of Portsmouth. I filed a motion to suppress, and you can see from the appendix, my initial belief from the police report, as well as conversations with my client, is that a strip search had occurred. However, upon arriving, beginning the evidence in court, it turned into a different issue that arose during presentation. Factually, what was presented to the court through the Commonwealth was that an investigator with the Portsmouth Police Department received a call from a confidential, presumably reliable informant with information about Jacoby Frazier and advising of a location where he might be. Without subsequent...
Do you challenge probable cause for the arrest?
Judge, I do. It became confusing what the court was relying on. You can see from the record I did try to elicit questions about the informant or follow-up investigation, so I will comment on that if that's acceptable.
Ms. Pass, what exactly is it that you're trying to suppress? What evidence?
Judge, the search itself.
The product of the search.
The product of the search, which came as a direct result of the conversation and consent.
Okay, could you address why U.S. versus Patain doesn't, the Supreme Court opinion holding that Miranda violation doesn't affect physical evidence that's seized, why that doesn't control this case?
Judge, it's my position that it's not the Miranda violation alone, but that they used it to obtain consent, which is a search issue. And if that was unlawfully obtained, it's not voluntary. I believe consent must be voluntary for the search to be lawful. And it's a combined issue of...
But isn't your argument that it was that the statement he made, I consent, was a violation of his Fifth Amendment Miranda rights?
I do. But I think it is combined with very coercive proceedings, being confined in an interrogation room, being transported there in handcuffs. It's the combination of things and the way in which the detective made those statements. Not as if it was a true alternative, but in essence, I'm going to search your pants. It's either going to be by search warrant or you're going to agree.
If there's probable cause to arrest, they can search incident to that arrest.
Yes, Your Honor.
Then consent, Miranda, is out of the picture.
Correct.
So your basic argument has to be premised on there was not probable cause to arrest.
It is, Your Honor. And I would point to the record, going back in the record, that I inquired of the detective, did he do any follow-up investigation? He said no. He could not provide the court with any description of any vehicle that Mr. Frazier would be in. The only information he had, I will concede to the court, he put enough on the record to establish his informant was reliable. He'd used him some 20 times. I think that's clear from the record. But he did nothing else from there. He just went directly to that location because he already knew who Mr. Frazier was.
Well, the informant also said that he had personally observed the appellant with heroin, so that's a source of knowledge.
It is, except that when I inquired further, he couldn't say where in the pants, he couldn't say why he thought he had that personal knowledge. I did inquire about that.
Well, but didn't he say that he saw the defendant in possession of heroin?
He did say that, Your Honor.
Well, isn't that, do we have...
When? There was the question of when. He never got into details how recently, under what circumstances, at the location where he said he would be, at some other location. There's almost no detail that accompanies this investigation or this complaint by the informant. That was the sum total of it. He'll have heroin in his pants.
And that he's going to be in the vicinity of...
Of a grocery store.
A certain grocery store at a certain location.
Mm-hmm. And that was, to the best of my knowledge, all the detective was ever able to say about the source of this information. I did try to inquire further, time frame, vehicle, where in the pants, he didn't know, and he acknowledged on the record he did no follow-up investigation whatsoever. He just went directly to that location. Throughout the record, he makes it clear to the court from his perception that Mr. Frazier was also not under arrest at that point. There's a lot of going back and forth between whether or not he was detained or arrested. The Commonwealth relied on it being an arrest, despite their witness repeatedly correcting the court myself and the Commonwealth through questioning that he was not under arrest.
I'll bet if he tried to walk out of there, he wouldn't have made it.
I agree. And I did ask that, and so did the court, that he was certainly not free to leave. But the investigator repeatedly characterized this as a detention. I recalled the detective, you'll note from the record, because throughout the initial presentation of the evidence by the Commonwealth, this was being treated as a regular search. But when I recalled him and questioned him, there's no doubt that what he intended and what he was seeking consent for was a strip search. He did concede that it was in his notes, and that was what he was seeking at that time. So it is the combination of seeking consent without advising Mr. Frazier of his rights, with the coercive environment, the fact that he was in handcuffs, and the lack of corroborating information altogether that I believe makes the consent involuntary, and which is why this is before the court.
Board have any questions?
Thank you.
Ms. Pass, no, I have no further questions. Okay. And you have almost 9 minutes
Thank you.
Left. Thank you. Mr. Katz.
Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Benjamin Katz, appearing on behalf of the Commonwealth. On appeal, the defendant maintains the trial court should have suppressed the evidence found on his person, arguing that the search was illegal because his consent was obtained in violation of the dictates of Miranda. And I would submit that this argument is flawed in three ways. The first way, the defendant has failed to assign error to the trial court's stated basis for denying the suppression motion, and that was the finding that the search was permissible to incident to the defendant's arrest. And though it's maintained at argument today that that was challenged, it was certainly not challenged in the assignment of error. It is an
Supreme Court's kind of liberalized our review of assignments of error recently, haven't they?
Well,
particularly on suppression cases.
Certainly Finley can be read to that in the cases that follow, and I would submit that is as to whether an assignment of error is broad enough to reach an issue, and we could look at the assignment of error asserted in this case and read it as broadly as we wished, and nowhere can it be implied that the stated basis for denying the motion is implied in the assignment of error. Clearly, the assignment of error addresses whether consent was obtained in violation of Miranda, and we could read that as broadly as possible, and it doesn't ever address the actual basis upon which the motion was denied. So I would submit, as a threshold matter, we shouldn't reach the merits of this argument and its waived for appellate review under 5A18, notwithstanding Finley and the latest cases from the Supreme Court.
But Finley and then I think it was Herring that came out last week, really are talking about the adequacy of the assignment of error as to whether it should be dismissed or not, not as to whether or not the scope that whether the scope or the whether the assignment of error is limited in scope as opposed to whether it should be dismissed.
I agree, Your Honor, and I don't think.
And I think that's a fairly substantial distinction.
Independent of that first reason, I would submit as to a second reason why the argument is flawed. The compelled act of revealing the narcotics location was not testimonial so as to implicate the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination in any event. And number three, Judge Petty, as you suggested, even if Miranda were violated, United States versus Patain would control the outcome of this case, and the physical evidence would not be subject to suppression. The defendant's argument really seeks to transform what is clearly an argument about the appropriate application of the Fifth Amendment into an argument about Fourth Amendment search and seizure. And I would assert that this case is clearly not a Fourth Amendment case. It's uncontested that the defendant gave his consent to search.
Do we need to get to Miranda?
I submit this court does not need to get to Miranda on the basis of the argument that we have an independent, unchallenged basis for affirmance. We have a finding in this case that there was probable cause to arrest the defendant and that no additional consent was needed from the defendant.
Did the appellant argue below challenge probable cause to arrest?
Your Honor, with the court's indulgence. I would submit that the questioning during the testimony got to the issue of the existence of probable cause, but there was clearly no objection and no assign of error to the trial court's conclusion of the existence of probable cause. And I would submit merely inquiring during the hearing as to the existence is not enough to preserve the issue for appellate review. So to answer Your Honor's question, no, this court need not get to Miranda. But in the event it does reach Miranda, I would argue on the one hand that the privilege against self-incrimination would not apply in this instance because it was non-testimonial. And even if the court concluded somehow that it did, it is still not subject to suppression. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any additional questions the court may
have. Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Katz. Ms. Pass, you have almost 9 minutes.
Won't take me that long. I will tell the court on the issue of whether it was addressed in lower court. After asking questions and preserving facts related to that issue, I will advise the court transcript on page 31. I did endeavor to argue that. And the
is
court
the transcript or the appendix
in the appendix it's the transcript page 31 it's the appendix page 47 when I made some efforts to raise that issue the trial judge stopped me and said that is not the issue there's a litany there I endeavored to do that it was part of the bigger argument that we were making to the court but the judge in that case kept stopping that and correcting that and
right,
redirecting
but don't you have an obligation and I know it's tough for trial counsel, but don't you have an obligation to proffer what that argument would be?
Judge, I assume that I do. I did endeavor several times, and the court would redirect me to specific questions or issues they wanted addressed as the things weighed in together. And that's all I can say. The record is going to speak for itself. The transcript is available to Your Honors. As I started this argument to you, this was not what I anticipated arguing in my motion, which is clear from what I wrote. This is something that occurred in the middle of the hearing.
If the trial court never made a ruling as to the statement or the consent, are you appealing a ruling that the trial court never made?
All the trial court said ultimately in its ruling was that he was persuaded by the arguments of Mr. Ferreira. We had discussed a lot of things in the hearing, everything from consent. The judge had raised a variety of questions about Fifth Amendment and about how the consent was obtained.
I mean, from the record, it appears that he bought the common attorney's argument.
That is my assumption. Yes, sir. With respect to the last issue, again, it is a collective argument that I make to the court. Again, the record is clear that the probable cause appears to be what the court relied on. It's what the Commonwealth attorney began to argue, despite the evidence from his witness throughout that the defendant was never under arrest, and despite the witness's testimony that it was not a search incident to arrest he was seeking, but a strip search. And again, I think those are all relevant factors as to whether this is a lawful search of the defendant, either by consent or probable cause.
Thank you. We'll
thank
come
you.
And greet counsel, then we'll take up James Howard versus Commonwealth.